deepest darkness of Dromund-Kos, to the smelly sewers of Nar-Shaddaa, to the brightest light that shine on Tython. This is Flashpoint.
Hi everyone, welcome to episode 64 of Flashpoint. This is our second go. We tried 24 hours ago and failed dismally thanks to the wonders of Microsoft Skype. But we're back to do it beautifully this time. And as always, I have two of the greatest people on the known earth. Simon, how are you?
Sufficient, thank you. Sufficient. How are you?
Yeah, good. And it's raining. We just realised in both Melbourne and Wollongong. Christy, how are you? It's not raining there, is it?
Yes, it is.
Oh, it's sorry, torrent, didn't hear you say. Okay, so it's literally an Australian rainstorm. That's amazing. So we're going to jump straight in before Skype shits itself, and with Republic News.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Republic News.
So the big announcement of the last few weeks is 2.4 game update for Star Wars The Old Republic. It was only announced late last week. And as I've already said before Skype pooped itself 24 hours ago, it's, I'd argue, one of the less exciting game updates, but the press release is, as you'd expect a press release to be, all breathless and excited about it. But essentially, 2.4 is about PvP primarily, so they're a new 4v4 player versus player Warzone arenas. And then there's a bit of a, in quotation marks, reward for new and previous subscribers who join up or rejoin the fight as a subscriber will automatically receive the game's first digital expansion, Rise of the Hutt Cartel, for free. So I'm going to throw to you first, Simon, but I feel a bit ripped off by the Rise of the Hutt Cartel, although it only cost $10. But I've been a loyal subscriber all along. What do I get?
You get a title, The Risen.
Oh, I still get that. That's true.
Yeah. Well, and you got access to the expansion almost 6 months before the people getting it for nothing. Assuming there's even anyone left who hasn't bought the damn thing. It's hard to say whether it's really going to, anyone's really going to be benefiting much. And apart from, I think it's really intended for people coming back or new subs. It's clearly not really meant for us. I think it was a nice gesture on BioWare's part. Well, not nice. I think a responsible, decent and moral thing to give people who have bought it in the last month, not so much a refund, but a store credit, I suppose you could call it. I mean, that's, what is it like? I think you get 1,050 cartel coins.
Okay.
If you bought it in the last 30 days. So I think that's okay. Quite honestly, though, the forums of, or certain, perhaps a vocal minority of people have been going a bit nuts about the whole thing. Including Massive Flea's Larry Everett, who's written some fairly long rants. I think you can call them articles, but I'm going to call them rants about whether BioWare is with an MMO, whether you're selling a product or a service, and how whether it's a product or a service really affects how this sort of freebie, I suppose, or devaluing the pack, because that's effectively what they've done. If you think about it, what by doing this, how many people are going to think, I'll wait 5 or 6 months until it goes free?
Yeah.
Has this devalued the expansions? It's possible, I think, for some people. I'm going to answer my own question here. But I think for the majority of people, most folks are probably going to be happy enough to shell out $10 so they can just get in there and start doing the content.
Yeah.
Because it's $10. That'll buy you, I think, an Angus, a large fry, and a large fries and drinks. So it'll buy you an Angus or a Big Mac combo.
I learnt about recessive genetic disorders in Angus cattle today whilst listening to the radio, but that's nothing to do with
it. Slightly off topic, but...
Yeah, within 4 weeks, they developed a screening test of identifying this genetic deficiency with all these poor cows born with multiple, like, five or six limbs. So there you go. You learn everything on Flashpoint. I agree on the $10, and... I mean, I don't consider myself anywhere near a hardcore player, but I'm still going to happily fork out the $10 for the expansion when it comes out and not wait 6 months.
Yeah, and I think that's what it comes down to. You effectively, maybe you're not actually buying the expansion. Well, I mean, it's an MMO. Have you technically bought anything? Because if you don't keep subscribing, you effectively go into, let's face it, it's not free to play. It's an extended free trial, and they put up little roadblocks and inconveniences all along the way to make you want to subscribe. I suppose that's one of the real, maybe that's another thing that's really annoying people, sort of a, not the last straw, but another straw, is the free-to-play model doesn't really encourage you so much as, what was the phrase I heard recently, being nibbled to death by cats.
One of my greatest fears.
I was going to say, Christie's had the most legitimate fear there.
Yeah, well, they will eat you if you die. But that's another topic completely. That's Londo Malari said that in Babylon 5. I can't remember in what relation to what exactly. But yes, and it is a bit like that. It's not really throwing the doors open and, I don't know, it's... I think this is one of those topics that's really just going to, you can go round and round in circles. If you're happy with the game, it's not really that big a deal. And if you're feeling slighted, like maybe all the PvPers who are doing the 8v8 war zones, if you've got a gripe, then I think this is just another thing to add on to the heap of misery. Whereas if you're happy enough with the game and enjoying yourself in it, it's not that big a deal. And I think that's really what it comes down to, your state of mind more than the act itself.
And before I jump to you, Christy, the main gripe, legitimate gripe I would see, is a local gripe in that, you know, it's just more PvP content that is going to lag. With no local servers, but that, you know, I would see that as a legitimate gripe, but not one that we're going to be able to do anything about.
No.
Christy, what's your take on it?
Well, I've purchased the expansion, even though I've never actually played any of it, and I only played, I don't know, because I kind of come and go from Star Wars, but even I, who haven't even touched it, and I think I spent the $20 as well because I'm not a subscriber, I don't feel like it's griped at all. I don't feel like I've been cheated. Mm. To me, it comes down to how much content you get for that $10/$20. If you get a month's worth of content and they release it free 6 months later, then I think that's fair enough. Yeah. If they give you 2 years of content, so you guys are still maybe only a quarter of a way through it, and they make it free to play, then I can – or free, sorry. I can understand that might be a little bit frustrating because you're still trying to enjoy it and get through it. But, yeah, I just don't think that people need to be as upset as they possibly are about it. Mm. And it's probably coming from, somewhere else. Because Star Wars, I mean, there is a lot to gripe about and there's a lot of changes, and they tend to do something and then 6 months later do a full 180 and move on to something else and then completely ignore that they're done. So... Yeah,
I mean,
my take on it.
You raise a good point about the timing. I mean, I'm, again, far from hardcore and would have been one of the slower people to get through the expansion, but I got at least a month and probably close to 6 weeks of play out of the expansion. So it's not as if they've done this 6 weeks in. It's been 6 months. So, yeah, I agree totally. And hopefully, I mean, if it helps them or won't help them financially, but, I mean, hopefully we're getting close to the big... next expansion.
They haven't even got this one out yet.
But see, I don't see the Dread War as, like, it's not at the level of Rise of the Hutt Cartel. That's adding war zones in. I'm talking about your next Rise of the Hutt Cartel.
Well, yeah, but it's an update. It's not an expansion.
No, that's right.
So although arguably Rise of the Hutt Cartel wasn't really an expansion, but it was expansion light. But we paid a light price accordingly.
I mean, if you tried to translate this model across to WoW, it'd fail dismally because, I mean, you pay more for an expansion in WoW, but you get a hell of a lot more for it. So if they would never do this in World of Warcraft, even if it was free to play, because there'd be riots.
Well, I was going to say, when Mr. Pandas came out, they essentially made the battle chess. So you got WoW Classic, Burning Crusade and Wrath for like $15 or something. It was ridiculously cheap. It was a few pennies. And, I mean, they still made you pay full price for Cataclysm and obviously full price for Mr. Pandas. They pretty much gave you, you know, that's 6 years of content, though, they gave you for cheapo. Yeah. So, but I don't remember anyone bitching about that, saying, oh, but I paid full price, you know.
No, that's probably a timing thing, though, I suppose, because, it'd be a solid 3, maybe even 4 years old. 3 years old, probably.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. If you were complaining about getting it for not getting it on the special price, and, oh, my God, it was ridiculous. I almost bought a second account just because. Actually, I think I did buy a second account just because.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah. Sometimes things are such good value, you just can't help but buy more than you need.
That's right. It's just nature, human nature.
Yeah.
I think I wanted to. I was like, oh, Mortybox, wow, yes, I'm going to buy this.
So
maybe when it comes to financial value, don't listen to me.
No, I agree. I think people are probably raging a little bit more than they need to. And I'm going to contradict myself saying I feel a bit ripped off. You've both taught me around now. I see that I haven't been ripped off.
Well, and also it's part of a more concerted, as you mentioned, the join the battle thing. I mean, so Rise of the Hutt Cartel going.
Let's segue to that.
Yeah, okay.
So go for it. No, keep talking.
We've already segued. I completely missed that. So obviously they're doing a push for new subs, and Rise of the Hutt Cartel is part of it. And of course there's the droid mini pet you get, the new speeder, which I have to admit actually looks pretty sweet. Kind of looking forward to getting that. And 500 cartel coins you also get as well if you sub before October the 20th.
There you go. So plenty of time.
Plenty of time. I must admit, I was sitting there today thinking, why October 20th? What's with is that date got any significance? And then just idly, I had a little. I went to EA's investor center and had a look to see when the quarterly earnings calls are done.
Okay.
And they occur in the last week of specific months. So the last one was July the 23rd, and that was Q1 of 2014. Q2 of 2013 was done on the 30th of October last year.
Yeah.
So if you want to be cynical, you might think that maybe they're but I mean, I can't see why they'd want to drum up numbers for the earnings call, because they don't announce numbers, but still
they can at least say things are growing or
whatever. Yeah, so maybe they're just going to talk about it in general terms. I'm not sure, but yeah, the suspicious paranoid individual in me couldn't help but wonder.
Oh, I think it'd be more pragmatic and realistic. There's no way that wouldn't be part of the strategy. It'd have to factor in.
Well, it was a bit like when my work dried up, as it does periodically in my particular line of endeavor, ended up in a call center again. I was working this is many moons ago, for Optus Vision. And we were having to tell people who wanted to get their Optus boxes picked up that, there's such a huge demand for installations at the moment. We haven't got the service people to do that, but we'll be doing the pickups after this date and blah, blah, blah. That was all a pile of crap. Basically, they wanted to keep as many units out there operating accounts or not, so that they could actually say, we've got this many boxes out in the market.
Yep.
And the date that we were doing the pickups after, oddly enough, happened to coincide with another earnings call for Optus. So, yeah, I'm a bit jaded by first-hand experience. So I'm not saying that's what BioWare's doing, but you'd be stupid not to ask the question.
Yeah, see, I've heard Gail works in a call centre, and I think you're both as warped and nasty as each other.
I love Android.
Oh, look, she already loves you enough without saying that.
Oh, it's the best OS ever, and now it's named after a delicious chocolate bar.
There's a chocolate bar called Android, and I haven't
eaten. No, I suddenly feel a craving for a chocolate-coated wafer finger, though. Nom, 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 nom.
Oh, gee. All right, so we sort of segued to join the battle but haven't actually talked about it. So the video, and I'm assuming most people listening have seen it, but if you haven't, go to the front page of SWOTOR.com, and I'd say there's been a little bit of money. I mean, they wouldn't have been short of people that would have, and I know I would have, jumped at being in a cool video like that. So go and check it out. We won't give away too much, but I thought it was rather effective. Christy?
I really enjoyed it. It's made along the similar lines to the Guild Wars 2 one when they first got released, and I hated the Guild Wars 2 one. I thought it was the most ridiculously stupid. I mean, they didn't even mention the game till the end of it, but obviously never did they hear. But without getting too much away, it's fun. I enjoyed it. It's Star Wars-y, and plus, I mean, what video doesn't look awesome with lightsabers?
Yeah, and they were relatively well done. I mean, it was a long way off CGI, but it still looked effective.
I like how they, like, the people would dress up like in different classes, you know, so yeah. You saw like the commando and you saw like the consular, you know, moving things around, and I enjoyed that. Yeah. I thought it was well made, and I thought it did mind you, I am a sucker for marketing, but it did make me think, I want to play this game.
Yeah, I mean, being the cynic like Simon, I always go, gee, they're going to get a hell of a shock when they move from that video to the actual game. Not slagging the game, but it's just, it's a hell of a dissonance from seeing that to the reality of it being an MMO with a fairly standard interface. But Simon, what do you think?
Well, I seem to recall this video came out quite a number of months ago, but it didn't really get a lot of exposure. But yeah, I think it's a great idea. It's a good way of pumping up people and getting everyone enthusiastic. Because as you say, running around with it's everyone's, well, not everyone, but certainly anyone listening to this podcast dream to run around with coherent light throbbing out of a handpiece. I mean, it's pretty darned amazing.
Bloody oath.
Especially when you got that many, and funnily enough, even though, as you say, the special effects weren't movie quality, it still looked good, and it was still better than that bloody Jedi arena battle on Geonosis.
Yeah, no argument there. So,
Mace Windu, suck my dick, you ass. God.
I want to move into a movie discussion now, but we won't. I haven't seen any good information about the new movies in the last month or so.
Well, J.J. Abrams has officially quit from the directing any future Star Trek films. So he's
on board big time.
Yeah, he's still going to have a connection with the Star Trek films because obviously his production company is involved with it, but. He's thrown his hat well and truly into the Star Wars arena.
So in an attempt to halve our listenership further, I've always thought Star Wars shits on Star Trek any day of the week anyway. All right, so...
Let's move along.
Yeah.
No, I think it's what you've grown up with. I just had very little exposure to growing up in a country town that only had one commercial TV channel. And that channel happened not to show Star Trek. That's the only reason I'm not a Trekkie. So that's just the reality.
I miss GWN.
Yes. Well, that's the thing. You would have been in the same boat.
Yep.
Simon's saying nothing because he's always been an urban bohemian lad. Bohemian urban lad would have been better phrasing, not urban bohemian.
What do those words mean in combination?
Oh, I don't know. Just a very well-educated man of the city.
Well, oh boy, have you ever got me wrong?
Yeah, I probably do, but that's fine. Take the compliment where you can get it.
We'll go with that.
All right, so let's the last bit of Star Wars stuff. Oh, actually, I was going to mention with the 2.4 and about titles, they ran a little bit of a thread on the forums about people suggesting titles that could be added to the game. There were a lot of funny ones in there, but one that Eric Musco liked for the double meaning was The Entitled. So for the obvious reason that if you have a title above you, you are entitled, but also that some of us subscribers in particular feel entitled to more than what we should.
Yeah, I think that's probably a good one.
So I want it.
I have to admit, I've been severely tempted to see if I could actually create a character on Harbinger or Berrigan under the name of Jeebus, so I can have I can run around with a character called Jeebus the Risen, just so I can blaspheme a little.
Love it, and because Jeebus was in The Big Lebowski, am I correct?
I got the reference from The Simpsons.
Yeah, I know, but I'm pretty sure. Anyway, let's not go.
You could be right. I mean, as far as I'm aware, it came from The Simpsons, but they were always referencing pop culture, so it probably came from somewhere else.
Oh, it's a great movie, The Big Lebowski. Have you seen it?
No, I can't even pronounce it.
Okay, it's a classic movie. Anyway,
now before we move on, there's a couple of things about. Sorry, where are we moving on from?
Well, no, I was about to go into the Super Secret Space Project.
Oh, right,
SSP for short. So, Simon, I believe you might have, I know you've been following this closely as probably, and I don't think I'm being unfair, Christy, as Simon is the only person that seriously does space combat in SWTOR. So what's the go?
I've got a bit bored with it. But, well, okay. First,
I got bored with it after my first mission. That's why I've never done it.
First of all, we're all aware of the Super Secret Space Mission video. It's not easy to say that after two very large Ryan Cokes of the that were released at the was it the San Diego Cantina? Seattle one.
It was one
on the thumbsticks,
anyway.
And just gleaning the various bits and pieces. Now that was the official material that we were provided with. Unofficially, there are these dwarven characters with large, thick beards who mine data. And there's one who regularly pops up on the SWTOR subreddit, and he's been busy chipping away at the granite of the game code. Now, first of all, let me just point out that Flashpoint does not endorse this sort of behavior because it violates the terms of service and you can be banned. But having said that, there's no cease and desist gone to any of the websites I've seen that have posted or reposted this sorts of information. So clearly if you stick it on the SWTOR forum, yes, you're going to get banned, but they don't appear to be pursuing people in plain sight who are showing this. So I think it's probably safe to say that we can cover a few points, if only to help build the buzz. And I think there should be a fair bit of buzz for it.
Absolutely. Now, can I just jump in with another quick disclaimer before yes. Simon goes, and that is that Simon might be or may not be sounding like a Dalek to you now, but we're so far into the podcast, I refuse to stop and we're going to keep going. And I hope you enjoy the special Dalek effects brought to you by Flashpoint.
Right.
It's not as bad as last night, but it's just a little bit. But let's keep going.
Okay. All right. So the information that's been provided for the space project from data mining, and bearing in mind that this is in no way official or even necessarily coherent information, but there are some tidbits. The varieties of gunships, strikers, bombers, infiltrators, scouts. There's quite a wide variety of craft. And I have to admit, looking at the information we've got here, I can't help but be reminded of X-Wing versus TIE Fighter, just in the variety of craft there are and the obvious specific roles that these vessels are going to have. Now, again, they look like they're single pilot. So you don't get to do the super secret space missions and not going to be in your own ship. That much is obvious. So everyone is going to be starting from a level playing field. PvP, I think, is pretty much a given. It's going to be space PvP with free flight. I don't think anyone's going to argue about that at this point. The interesting thing is it's entirely possible there might be some PvE as well, because there's evidence of companions.
Okay.
Which suggests there might be some degree of story. Now, so there's Imperial companions and Republic companions. And there's a droid on each. Now, I don't know what sort of droids they are, but if they're not some form of astromech, I'll be very surprised.
Sounding good so far.
Yeah, no, mostly it seems from the information that we've got as far as the starfighter controls, the WASD and mouse, effectively. The GUI looks quite different to the one that you see in the space missions, in that it appears to have a mini-map, which shows not only your targets, but also other vessels, friendly and enemy, lurking around. So again, that smacks very much of X-Wing versus TIE Fighter, or similar sorts of space combat.
Yeah.
Also, there looks very much like something that's a resource meter for instance, shields and weapons. So looking at the UI, it looks very likely that you're going to be able to do the sorts of things where you know you can transfer energy from your shields to your weapons to give yourself more of a bang, or vice versa if you're getting pummeled and need to get the hell out of Dodge. So I'm prepared to be disappointed, but I am quietly hopeful that this looks like it could be a real game changer.
Yeah.
If they do it right, and it's looking positive, I think we could have something that's going to bring a lot of pleasure, certainly for me.
And we know for a fact there's not some sort of, in the user interface, some little meter that shows, you know, the fuel for your ship, you know, runs at one cartel coin per second or something.
There's no obvious evidence of that, but it's not a very high-res image. So be prepared for anything. And considering I'm going to – do you want to talk about the super-secret space mission anymore, or shall we segue on to the overpriced dies?
Yeah, we've done segue so immaculately and smoothly tonight. Let's go to that.
Okay. I just want to – it sort of comes in a bit to – obviously there was a bit of a brouhaha about the – what was it? The emergency medical table was supposed to be in one of the packs, and it turned out it wasn't.
Oh, yeah.
So I assume everybody now knows that you run up to the – or is it the I can't remember now. The bounty just
oh,
go
you
to
mean
the,
it, yeah.
The vendors. All the vendors in the cartel bazaar. The Imperial one is, as you get out the lift, is the one on the left hand platform in the center. Republic, I couldn't care less, quite frankly. But anyway. but you can get the medical table for one credit. And you can get the outraged emote for one credit. And that's a per character purchase, but it's a pittance. And one of the I've gone and bought that just after I bought the Cathar, which I swore I'd never do. But there we go.
Yeah, I'm surprised.
Yeah, I'm surprised too. But he's kind of cool. I've made him black, and he's got this sort of a white. Never mind. He's actually pretty kick-ass. But the cool thing about the table is the animation when you're getting when you get off, the thing heals you clearly. But it's like a lot of medical treatments; it's not the most comfortable experience if his reactions are anything to go by. Okay. But the neat thing when he gets off, he sort of does this kind of lurching motion off to the right, sort of staggers with his right foot, and then he sort of but his left hand's kind of caught by the binder, and he sort of has to pull it free. And it's very much like the sorry, I'm going to have to reference another one of the new trilogy. But in Revenge of the Sith, when you know just before Vader gets off and he has to pull it, he pulls his left hand free from the bindings as well, and it looks just like that. I don't know whether it's a deliberate nod, but I can't help thinking that it must be.
I'd say it would be too.
Yeah, but it's kind of cool.
Very cool.
Yes. And
so
oh,
was that the dies?
Oh yeah, I was getting to that one. You know how we raged about Treek being 2100 cartel coins?
Yeah, yes, absolutely. We named a whole episode after him.
Her.
Once again, come to Flashpoint for all the lore and knowledge.
Yes, yes, indeed.
I honestly thought, oh, there you go. So I'm going to, oh, good.
Right. So 2100 cartel coins for a furball seemed expensive. How about 1,000 cartel coins for a consumable white on white die?
Jeez.
That's a single use item. So
for one piece of gear or the light? No, I suppose.
Right, for the chest piece, and then you just So the even more amusing is the black on black is 2,000 cartel coins.
I can see why, because they know, but still, that's shit.
And it's a limited time item as well, so.
But see, you know, sadly, I now want to go and buy one of them.
Not for 2,000 cartel coin.
I haven't got that many left at the moment.
No, I've been buying scratches, I have to admit. But I did get I did get one of the sitting emotes. So
that fulfills a lifelong dream for you.
It does. I can actually sit down now, and now I know why you can't sit down in the game. I realise that is as good as I'm going to get.
That's sad but funny.
It is, and just, actually, while we're just on the topic of buying stuff, if anyone doesn't already know, the Appearance Designer has a sale on at the moment from I think it was Friday, September 13th. To September the 23rd, as of recording, that's still plenty of time. Yeah, so you get 50% off any transaction in the Appearance Designer, and subs. Obviously, we've already got a discount, and we get the 50% on top of that.
Okay.
So, if you're not happy with the green cyborg with the pink mohawk, now's a good time to go and change it.
Bloody oath. I'm dialing in as we speak.
Yes. And were we going to talk about 2.4 at all?
You're funny. So we should talk about 2.5. We might as well just project what 2.5 is going to be. It won't be PvP. There's a 100% rock solid prediction.
Unless it's space PvP.
Well, that's very true.
Although considering let me just double check here, but... Refreshing. Public test server is still currently unavailable, so that's been down for it's been down for a little while now, and they've still got no ETA for when game update 2.4 testing can recommence. So I don't think the space missions are going to be coming.
No.
I'd say after Christmas.
Yeah, I would have thought.
Although for Christmas would be very nice. Thanks, BioWare.
Absolutely. Even I'm a bit excited about them if they even half of what you said comes to fruition. Unless it's got the cartel coin fuel meter, and then I'm out.
Oh, no, it's not like BioWare to gouge us.
No, that's true. All right, so that'll do for Star Wars. So let's move on to other stuff. And we've just got two bits tonight. So let's start with, I'm going to do a mini review of SimCity. So I know SimCity, the latest SimCity's been out for a number of months, but being, you know, a sucky Mac user, I only bought it when it was released for Mac about 3 weeks ago, I think. And have spent some serious time with it the last couple of weeks. And so my mini review is it's good but the same. So it, I love the graphics of it now, and you can zoom in and see all the little people building and doing all their funny things. And it's much cooler from that viewpoint. But, I mean, the mechanics, as you'd expect, are pretty much the same. There's just a little bit more complexity and a bit more forgiving on the budget, I'm finding. I've played SimCity right back to the Super Nintendo days, and always got thrashed on my budget. I'd, you know, take out way too many bonds, never be able to pay them back, and everything would fall into disrepair. This time I'm actually even getting by without bonds a lot of the time and doing quite well, so I'm quite pleased with that. The other key thing with SimCity, and I don't know whether this was present in the last version because I didn't play it, but the MMO side of it, in that you can share regions with friends or just other random people that are logged into the server as you, and then you share your resources. So if you build a police station and you've got more police than you need, you can earn money by having the police go to the neighbouring town and help police their streets. And the same goes for all the utilities and education, everything. And vice versa, you know, try and build great facilities to attract shoppers and tourists from the other towns to earn more money for your businesses and stuff like that. So it's all pretty cool. Neither of you guys have played SimCity this version, have you?
Not this one, no.
Yeah. So there you go.
I think 4 was the last time I played.
Yeah, so I'm trying to think when. I know I did the Super Nintendo and I played it on Mac years and years ago, but so this would be only the third time, but for once I'm not getting thrashed, so I'm happy. So there you go, mini review. Go and check it out if you haven't. And it's the usual shit with needing to download it via Origin. And I wanted to talk, this is partly related to Star Wars, and I'm probably alone here, but I've noticed with both SimCity and SWTOR, I'm having major problems with constantly being told that my login credentials aren't right and having to reset my password every week or so. Am I alone? Yes, I probably am.
Like so many other things in your life, yes.
Yeah. I don't know what it is. I may not play for a week, log in, and it says your credentials aren't correct, and I know I've written them down.
Like you're not getting hacked, are you?
No, it doesn't look, because I use an authenticator. The authenticator synced time-wise correctly. It's not that. And then once I go through the whole reset process, works.
Weird. I've not had that with SWTOR, and I've not had that with Tapped Out, which is also obviously an EA Origin. Well. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'm just wondering. I don't know. Who knows. Just thought I'd mention that in passing. If you have heard, if you've experienced the same thing, let us know so I can feel like I'm not alone. Final Fantasy 14. So, Christy, you gave us a lovely overview last time. I know you've been, I think it's fair to say it's been dominating your playing time. How's it going and how's...
Just a little.
How's the community going? Is it growing? Give us an overview.
Ooh, community-wise, I'm going to have to start with a little rant, I'm afraid. Yeah. As I'm sure you've all heard, Final Fantasy XIV didn't have the best launch. It did have problems. Unfortunately, people from the, I guess you'd call them Western, I'm not sure if they're American or European or anything like that, but because it's global, you can create on any server. And I think the NANEU servers are both in Canada anyway, but the Japanese servers are located in Japan. And unfortunately, they did log on to the Japanese servers and started comparing the launch of a Japanese game to a certain event that happened during a certain war in which certain nuclear bombs were dropped onto a certain city. And I haven't actually heard any official reports. I've only heard this as rumour, and I honestly hope that it's not true. But considering MMO players, I wouldn't be surprised if it is. Apparently Square Enix has gone out and banned these people. Thank goodness. But honestly, guys, I understand it's frustrating and it's horrible. And we all want a smooth launch. We all want to play the game. We are in the same boat. But just have a little heart. Terrible.
Agreed.
That is pretty disgusting. I mean, you expect some fairly rabid behaviour from people on the internet anyway, but that surprises even me.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't see if there was an American game being launched and it didn't go well, if people started comparing it to 9/11 or something like that, if people would, you know, think that was okay. But yeah, hopefully, I haven't seen any of it. I haven't heard any of it, like on the servers I've been playing on, and I have been playing on Japanese servers as well as the American servers. So fingers crossed it was a few bad eggs and those bad eggs have gone. But sounds like they probably shouldn't have been playing the game in the first place. That being said, the Japanese servers, I was playing on an American server, but about a week ago I swapped to a Japanese server, and it's actually really great. My ping is barely over 100, especially on the American servers. When you start getting up to your level 30 dungeons, it gets more Twitch-based. And as I posted a video on YouTube, which apparently everybody loves, you can see that I moved out of the way of a damage coming through, but it still hit me with humorous results. I haven't experienced any of that on the Japanese server. It's just so much more responsive. So if you're Australian, I would recommend you play on a Japanese server unless you we're one of those ISPs that have weird routing.
Yeah.
Some of my guilds say that theirs goes through America before it goes to Asia. Others say it goes through Hawaii. So they actually get worse ping. But if you're with a good ISP that has routing that goes straight up, then totally give it a go. If not, then you're probably going to have a proxy. And there's plenty of proxies out there. But yeah, when you hit that mid-level content, you're going to have trouble if you have an Australian ping.
There you go. I do want to try it, but it's just a time issue.
I must admit, actually, as much as I'd love to recommend it and I'd love to have people playing it, because I think it's a good game. I think it's Guild Wars 2 and Rift, like with a twist. And I think people who are disappointed with both those games might find that little something they're looking for in Final Fantasy 14. But at the moment, I wouldn't recommend it. They're still having a lot of troubles. There are nights when the servers will just die and they won't come back up for a while. The support are getting a lot better. We've had it where the servers go down and within half an hour they've fixed it, versus before when it would go down and you'd pretty much just say, all right, that's it for the night.
Okay.
But also another problem is that Australian accounts are classed as EU, which means we get billed in euros. So you're looking at over $20 a month. So I looked at it. I looked at getting 6 months and noticed that with exchange rate, I'm paying close to $100 for 6 months. I've logged a ticket with their support to see whether or not I can get converted to an NA one so I can pay American dollars, which is obviously your usual $14.99 American. So with our exchange rate, it's not that much more. If you're looking to subscribe, don't think it's $15 a month, because it's not. And EB Games aren't buying game cards. They refuse to because of, obviously I haven't heard this officially, but since MMOs in the past have gone free to play, they end up with all these game cards because obviously they do purchase them. It's not a newspaper where you just tear off the front page and you don't get charged for it. You only get charged for it yourself. And since I actually saw that they're still trying to get rid of their Ion game cards, if you want an Ion game card, you can pick them up for like $4, so go for it. But yes, I can understand why they're a bit devious about selling game cards. But I would probably say if you're interested, then pay attention. Hopefully they'll have some trials coming up, or listen to me because I've been going on about it. If you want to see what the gameplay is like, there's plenty of videos out there, including my own. I've been live streaming it and YouTubing it. So if you want to see some of the dungeons especially, like the early level dungeons, which are quite fun, it is a fun game. But, yeah, maybe just wait a little.
Mm. Or resubscribe to Star Wars The Old Republic.
Yeah. And get
Rise or of play Rift.
Now, going from one of the newest to one of the oldest, it's probably just worth mentioning that WoW updated to version 5.4 last week. So I've been in the main. I don't know, there's a whole bunch of other stuff that's familiar. There is some new dungeons and raid. Oh, well, there's a new raid. But the main thing is flexi raiding is now live. So I'm hanging to give that a go. And Simon, Just so you know, you're very heavy breathing in the mic, and I will cut this bit out.
Oh.
I sent your message on Skype, but you didn't see it.
No.
I thought you were behind me.
So I'll cut this bit out. Or maybe I won't. It's the excitement over WoW and Final Fantasy. It's got to you, haven't it? Or are you thinking about the Secret Space Project?
I was thinking of the Secret Space Project, in all honesty, because I forgot to mention that it, you know, in the existing space combat, you've got magic lasers. They'll bend. You fire at something and it will curve. It curves. If you fire at something and then you bank and still fire, it will curve. The laser bolts will curve around to get the target.
Nice.
Whereas in the physics has been restored to normality in the super secret, in that you have to actually aim ahead. You actually have to
turn to
aim. And then anticipate. It's very exciting. I'm very excited.
Evolution is on its
Did
own.
I mention I'm excited?
Yeah, absolutely.
Big Kev excited?
Yeah, Kev. God, rest his soul. So, yeah, 5.4 flexi rating. For those unaware, that means that you can have, I actually don't know the lower numbers. I think it might be 7 or 8 up to, I think, I don't actually know. Don't know why I bothered starting this conversation, but something like between 7 and, let's say, 30. I don't think it's that high. 25 probably, between 7 and 25 people can raid, and so you just get a bunch of friends to start a group, that, and then the raid scales to the number of people in it, which, you know, makes a lot of sense, and I'm sure other MMOs have done it, but it's just, I think it's impressive that they're still implementing big changes like that so far into the game's history, evolution. But they don't have magic lasers.
I hate magic lasers.
I want magic lasers.
So, anyway, that's WoW. And it's a secret world. I have nothing to report on beyond I've been still having a ball. And I think I said last time I was about to finish the Savage Coast, but then, of course, walking out of the Savage Coast of Blue Mountains, realised I hadn't been into the hippies there and is at the bait shop, whatever it is. And, of course, there's, you know, half a dozen quests there that I'm trying to knock over now. But God, I love that game.
It's awesome. I am missing it, actually. Yeah. But I guess when I start to get off that shiny new game thing and Final Fantasy becomes normal play instead of, oh, my God, I can't stop playing this game, I might go back and do some Secret World.
Because
I miss my little belly dancing redhead.
Yeah, no, they're cool. And they had I think it's over now, they had a couple of weekends of, you know, double skill points. Every school got another one and that sort of stuff. So I tend to always jump in for them because I suck that badly. I need every skill point achievement point I can get. Simon, go. Sorry, Chris.
Yeah. Well, just before we started here, I was browsing the news and there has been an announcement. There's making Perf Mint is making a solid gold coin for the 50th anniversary of our favourite sci-fi TV show, Doctor Who. There's only going to make 250 of these. They're going to be selling at $2,995.
Oh my God.
So you get your $5 back from your $3,000. This is licensed. So you will, it comes in a wood box, including certificate of authentication that this is the it's like an Australian New Zealand thing, but Perth Mint is the ones who are actually going to be selling it. So if you're a Doctor Who fan with a spare $3,000 lying around, the coin looks awesome.
But for that
and
money,
feel free to send it to my way.
For that money, I want a perfume pillow stuffed with the pubic hair of your cast member of choice.
Oh, David Tennant. I mean.
See, that's what I mean. So that's my view for that money. And even then, I don't think I'd fork out.
Ew.
Yeah, I don't know why the pubic pillow just came to mind for some reason.
Obviously, it's just something deeply repressed coming to the fore.
And for once, I was going to call this episode the Trash Segue Podcast, but I think we'll call it the Pubic Pillow Edition.
Yeah, that'll bring in the listeners.
We'll try
suddenly,
anything.
Suddenly I want this little 1 ounce bit of gold actually over.
Yeah, I think that's understandable. Now, you've just reminded me, though, as far as listeners, I do need to do a shout-out. I did a shout-out last time begging for someone to please review the podcast on the iTunes store. and proceeded to log in and realize that a very kind person had back on the 31st of July.
Yeah.
So he's our 17th reviewer on the Australian iTunes store, and there's a few more on the US store. So thank you, Big Pete 009. That's not you, Simon, is it?
No.
No, all right. And
did they say something nice?
Yeah, they did. They said, I always look forward to the next episode. The mix of games is good. It's nice to hear from people who are not Uber gamers, and that's definitely not me, but rather those who enjoy what they do. Very easy to relate to. So thank you, Big Pete.
Yes, but hardcore we are not, but we do like games.
Yes.
And I like my Katha Inquisitor.
And I'm not sure whether I gave a shout out to Alex Hislop on April the 24th. I know that was last year, who said, whose comment was see title, but the title of his review was You Guys Rule.
Ooh.
So thank you, Alex, from 18 months ago. So please log in and we'd love to give you a shout out rather than doing it once every 12 months or so. That'd be great.
Okay, you're starting to sound tragic now. Stop.
Yeah. Please, we're desperate. All right, anything else from you, Simon?
Yes.
Go.
Oh, right. The Inquisitor. In The Inquisitor, one of the, and this is a spoiler alert, one of the early guys you have to get rid of is Darth Scotia. I really have a problem with that name.
Yeah.
How do you spell Scotia? It's in Scotia?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's dumb.
Okay, so it's a. You could argue that yes, it's
Nova's brother.
You could argue that it's a Roman name for a part of the British Isles, but I don't know where they got this name from. Otherwise, it's part of an architrave.
Well, that'd probably be a better fit.
It's part of an architectural feature and. You can't help wondering, are you going to get, I don't know, Darth Sofa and Darth Window Treatments next? It's just stupid.
This is an issue they have with naming. I understand the challenge of naming so many NPCs and everything else, but I mean, you might mention a lot of episodes ago, I was totally put off, I think it was on Hoth or somewhere, that there were Arctic soldiers. It's like, really? You couldn't have thought of something else but Arctic?
Yeah, well, Hoth has got me on a couple of things because, what is it now? I'm trying to remember, but it's like there's a couple of references. There's Dawn Base, is one of the Imperial ones, which I always think of Michael Dorn, the guy that played Worf in Star Wars: Star Trek: The Next Generation. Sorry,
goes the other half of our listeners.
Yes, Star Wars: The Next Generation.
I think that's a big sin, isn't it? One of the greatest sins.
I'm trying to bring two warring factions together harmoniously.
All you have to do is like put a five on the end or something like that, and I think you've got it all.
Well, arguably, the new movie, if it's going to feature the kids of Han and Leia, is going to be Star Wars: The Next Generation. So,
good try.
It could work. You never know.
I'm with you.
No,
about 20 meters behind.
You're really not. Also, I just wanted to point out, for anyone that's just sort of thinking not the Dreadlords again for 2.4, this is going to be the end of their story arc. So this is the big finale when you go to the crappy moon of Oricon. This is another thing that pisses me off about Star Wars. The dodgy science.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole parsec thing apart and the fact that the sanctuary moon of Endor didn't actually appear to be orbiting anything, so what the hell is it a moon of? And don't give me that crap about the moon. The planet of Endor was destroyed. If the planet's destroyed, I'm pretty sure the moon's not going to hang around in any kind of reasonable shape.
It's like ghost gravity. Orbits.
Yeah, and then you've got the moon of Oricon, which is where the dread fortress and the dread palace are, which are the two level 55 ops in the new pack. Moon of what? It's the Oricon system. They've named the system after a moon. There's no other planetary body apart from a moon. If there's no other planetary body, it's not a moon. It's a freaking planet.
Oh, look, I'm sure
believe
some...
that a system must have at least one star, doesn't it? To be
you would think
a...
so.
Well, yeah, it's going to be very dark otherwise.
So, I mean, I'm sure somewhere in Star Wars lore, George Lucas has written that there's, you know, a moon called Futon orbiting the planet Devan. While we're on the Darth sofa sort of thing.
Well, sure okay. Another bugbear, since you've sort of... Well, you haven't brought it up, but I'm going to move on to it anyway. Dantooine and Tatooine. It's a galaxy far, far away. You couldn't come up with slightly different names? What the hell? Yeah. I'd love to meet George. I just want to kick him in the nuts.
I agree. All right, that's a nice way to finish.
Yeah.
This special pubic pillow edition. So we'll be back, and we will be back in a fortnight. I think it was last night with our aborted attempt that I apologised for the delay. It was totally due to, again, my unavailability, but we are scheduled for 2 weeks. So we'll be back then. And also thanks to Ed for joining us again last show, and Ed will be back here and there. If you'd like to contact us, contact at oceanicgamer.com, twitter.com/oceanicgamer, same for Facebook. Actually, I think it's The Oceanic Gamer, sorry. You'd think I would know these things. Simon's Twitter address I know better than my own, which is RPGBeatsRL. And Christy, I still want to say that you're... no, you're Evil Krispy Kreme. You were Virtual Drop Bear, not the other way around. That's right.
Evil Krispy Kreme now. That's Everything's right. Evil Krispy Kreme. Twitch, TV, YouTube, it's all Evil Krispy Kreme. I'm still waiting for Krispy Kreme to send me a cease and desist for having such a similar name to theirs. But
or send you a truckload of the bastards to kill you that way.
Well, yeah, they are apparently coming to Perth, so maybe it's because of me.
I still think they're most world's most overrated foodstuff, Krispy Kreme.
I can't eat them. I really can't.
They're not a foodstuff.
No. They're a fabrication.
They're a stuff, but they're not a food.
So thanks, everyone, as always, and thanks to you two, most importantly.
Thank you.
And we'll be back in a fortnight. Bye.
Bye.
From the coldest depths of interstellar space to the nastiest packed urban sprawls of Coruscant, this was Flashpoint.